The following was at Mount Zion, the fourth Sunday in August, 1971. Lord willing, I'd like to call your attention to some scripture, a very short scripture that I shall read first, just one verse, found in the 15th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. I was reading through, turning through the book this morning, and this one verse seemed to attract my attention. I'll read that, and then a little bit later I hope that we can find what the context is and the occasion on which the apostle wrote it. This scripture is, "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." Now that's just the one verse. "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world," 15th chapter of Acts. Now let us look to the Lord in a word of prayer. We come, gracious Father, desiring to worship thee this morning. But we've long since learned that thou art not worshipped just with our thoughts, the wisdom of men, not with the hands of men, but thou who art a spirit art worshipped only in spirit and in truth. We realize that we have no control over, cannot command thy spirit, but we're passive and in thy hands. O Lord, if we can be right in thy sight, it seems good to thee to pour out thy spirit in our poor hearts this morning and lift us above these mundane things, the things which give us trouble and sorrow and affliction as we travel from day to day. But, O Lord, would thou put out thy spirit that we might look beyond all of these trials and troubles and afflictions and sorrows that we are heir to, so that we might look beyond this vain world and by faith behold something, though it must be through glass darkly, something of thy power and thy glory and of those things that thou hast prepared for them that love thee. We realize, O Lord, that thou art infinite in power and wisdom and in glory, and thou dost not need that we should tell thee anything or try to acquaint thee with anything, because thou knowest all things. Yea, even before the world began, thou hast determined all things whatsoever has come to pass. Wilt thou look upon these this morning? We're very few in number, but wilt thou look upon us, O Lord, with pity and compassion, and give us grace, for we need thy grace. We have nowhere else to go. None other can help save thee, our God. We pray thee, therefore, if it seems good to thee, to remember us in mercy and lead us by thine unerring spirit. Is it thy will, O Lord, that we shall have a degree of liberty in thinking upon and speaking of thy word and thy power and thy glory? We're in thy hands, O Lord, our God. Lead us, therefore, in the way that thou wouldst have us to go, and give us grace sufficient each day for our daily needs. Be with us all while we live, and then save us at last. We beg for Christ's sake. Amen. And I'll read this one scripture again, one verse. "Known unto God are all of his works from the beginning of the world." The occasion of this being uttered was when some of the Pharisaical brethren were insisting that the rites, some of the rites, especially circumcision, must be practiced by the church, else there was no salvation. And there were those also that did not believe, did not feel that the Gentiles had any part or lot in the grace and the mercy of God. But the time had come when the hidden things of God were now being opened up and revealed. And the disciples were concerned about these things pertaining to the Gentile brethren. And they had a meeting with the brethren. Barnabas and Paul were declaring, or had declared, what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by then. And therefore they were thoroughly convinced that God was the God of the Gentiles also, in line with the fact that he said, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them are." place. Even it says in the fullness, when it's fullness of time is come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Another scripture that I think is in line with this is that it says, he has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us before the world began. And so the purpose and the grace and the calling and the saving was all before the world began. I'm glad, my brethren, that we have such a God, the maker and the creator of the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof. Nothing exists today or ever will exist but what God himself created it. God made it, and he made it for his own purpose, to accomplish his will and purpose in all things. And so as we remember that God chose his people before the world began, and this is the truth that is not believed by anybody at all, except those who have been born with the Spirit of God. They don't believe other people, those who have not been born with Spirit, who have not been part of the Lord, not had a revelation from God, they don't believe that God saved his people in his son Jesus Christ before the world began. Even though the scriptures proclaim to say so. And yet it seems so impossible with them that God should have done this before the world began, even before he had created the heavens and the earth. Fullness thereof, long before that he had formed Adam and Eve, Adam of the dust of the earth, and therefore he had determined these things, and they all coming to pass on scheduled time. So known unto God, James said, all his works from the beginning of the world. That is a wonderful thing that we are given to remember and to consider it, and especially as it is sometimes applied in our hearts. One of the things we remember and to find it to be true that God loves sinners such as we are, vile sinners, unworthy sinners, with such a love that even before the world began, knowing all things because all things were open before him, before whom we, with whom we have to do, he knew, and in some wonderful and glorious way, as I've said, it was God's purpose that these things should come. He caused all to be judged sinners, that he might have mercy upon them. And so God has fixed the redemption and the salvation of all of his people, not by any creature works or creature righteousness, but by his own grace. And that because of the love, the wonderful, glorious love that God had for his people before the world began. So as we began to look back way back before the world began, we of course cannot speak with any authority as to what took place there, except, and this is a wonderful and glorious exception, and that is the apostle said in Hebrew that we know as with certain things we know, that God created the heavens, by faith we know that God created the heavens and the earth. And so if we have been given faith, if we've been born the Spirit of God, and we have the fruits of the Spirit, faith and love and so forth being the fruits of the Spirit, then we believe implicitly that God did create the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof. But it is by faith, we might read books, we might read history, profane history, and they could only be guessing at it, but by faith somehow, which God is Jesus is the author and the finisher, we just simply believe that God created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof, yea, even though it seemed to the natural mind impossible that even God should do that. But it was true, as it is testified throughout the whole scripture, that God works his will. Nebuchadnezzar, you remember, was made to say, from the evidences of God's grace and mercy and power, he said nevertheless the foundation of God stand assured. No, that was Paul that said that. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Nebuchadnezzar was made to declare the power of God and the glory of God, because he had seen and felt the glory of God, and that he was the only true and the living God. And so there are Lord's many, we're told, and God's many, but there's only one true and living God, just the one, who is self-existent, who is all-powerful, who works his will in the armies of heaven, as Nebuchadnezzar said, and among the inhabitants of the earth, so that we are given to believe when we are in that spirit of the matter, and having been taught and been given faith. We remember that God said through Isaiah, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times of things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all of my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, a man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. And so we see a ravenous bird that God called to come against Israel. And because of Israel's transgressions, he called a ravenous bird. He calls a heathen king to come against Israel, that he might punish them because of their infidelity. But this was all the work of God. It wasn't man's work, but God did that. We remember also in this same line of thought that God said he would harden Pharaoh's heart. He would harden his heart, and Pharaoh would not let them go. My people go, the Israelites go. But God hardened the heart of the king, the Pharaoh, and it was all for the purpose of showing forth the power and the glory of God over the kings of the earth, over all the opposing powers, we might say. For the devil thinks he is an opposing power of God, and yet the devil is in God's hands. He's a good devil because he does and carries out the eternal purpose of God. He's not good in the sense in which he's righteous, not at all, but he is God has a purpose in him, just the same as he has a purpose in all things else. And so remember that God had declared the end from the beginning, so that we are living today in what apparently is the beginning of the end of this natural world. We think so. We don't know what God's purpose is. We don't know when God's time will be. But regardless of whether it's today, tomorrow, or 1,000 years from now, it is declared. The end has been declared from the beginning by this God, who in the meantime, between the beginning and the end, will have carried out and accomplished all of his purposes in his people here in this world. I've sometimes thought, and I suspect you have too, that the real reason that God has established this world and keeps it moving, going as it is that he might draw out and bring out his own chosen people that he'd chosen in his son before the world began, that they might be brought by ordinary generations into the generation of Adam, and therefore have a being, a life here as the chosen of the Father. But those whom he has chosen out of the Adam family, he always brings them to a new birth. And Jesus, Peter said, you remember, that who hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So there is a beginning again of a lively hope. And this is the only way that God has purposed, that his people should be have it revealed to them and made known to them that they are his people, that he has loved them, and that he has given his son to suffer and bleed and die for them. And so we are glad to, I feel like I'm glad sometimes when I can stand before the Lord's people and testify the power, the glory, the supremacy of this God. And I like to think about it as one of the Elder McCall said the other evening in our home, Elder McCall from Canada. He said whenever he began to think of these things in the contending earnestly for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, he always thought of me, because he felt like that I was blessed to contend earnestly for that faith. And those are the things that I would do, my friends and my brethren, above everything else in the world, is to contend earnestly and only for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now, there are many things, as we know, that in the scriptures that we don't understand. So many of them, it seemed to be dark and hidden from me. And yet I have been made to say and feel that regardless of whether I understand them or not, I cannot deny that they are the truth. That they are the truth because God has enable his servants, holy men of old, to write as he moved them, and that these things are all profitable for us, for doctrine, reproof, correction, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then he, in the New Testament, he enabled Peter and the writers of the Testaments, the Gospels rather, he enabled them to write those things and left upon record for us. And so the whole matter from the beginning to end of God's eternal will and purpose is on scheduled time and is accomplishing that time. Now I believe, and I'm sure you do, and I say I believe it because all the evidence is that we are each one brought here into this world, into this natural life on scheduled time. We couldn't have been born some other time or other parents or anything like that. But we are born of our parents on scheduled time. And we're going to live here just as long as God has predetermined that we should live here. And then we're going to lie down in death. Now, I remember that I believe it was Elder Lefferts that used to say that when the time came for us to leave this world, the article of death, the thing which caused our passing away, was always there. And it is always there. We go the way that God's eternal will and purpose determined that we should leave this world. But thanks be unto our God, my brethren, we realize that he has been gracious and merciful, not only in providing for us the natural things which are so necessary, but also in providing for us things which, if I could think about it rightly, be more important than natural things. Of course, the natural things are so necessary to sustain us, but the more important things, the more enduring things, are the things that God had done for us through the death and the resurrection of his blessed Son. And we're given that hope, that assurance. And that hope is the anchor of our soul, sure and steadfast, because it enters into that within the veil, whither our forerunner, even Jesus, has entered for us. And so when we begin to think about all the purposes of God and all the ramifications of all the things which take place daily, and nothing is out of order in the eternal arrangements of God, we begin to have a little inkling of what a powerful God he is, what a sovereign God he is. The king's hand is in his hand. And all the nations rise and fall according to the purpose of our God. And but God has set up a kingdom. If you remember that Daniel tells us about that kingdom that God shall set up in that day, which shall never be destroyed and will not be given to other people. That's God's kingdom for his church here in the world, the church of the living God. And God has set it up. And God is drawing by his irresistible power, according to his will and purpose. All of those that he chose in his Son before the world began, he brings them out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God. This is not to say that all of the Lord's people are members of the church, not that, but God does reveal to them, each one of them, sometime while they live, God's time, on scheduled time, he reveals to them that he is their God and that the individuals are his people. And so these are the things that our God does for us, and we're glad of it. But I'd hate to think that our God was as some of the heathen gods that is described by Isaiah, Jeremiah, and others, that they're made of silver and gold, or even of wood, and they're fashioned by the hands of men. They can neither see nor hear, they can't walk, can't move, they can't have anything really in common with those who fall down and worship them. And yet, in their dark and benighted minds and hearts, they worship these stones and sticks and so forth. Just exactly like the children of Israel did in the wilderness after Moses was taken up, as you recall, into the mount. While he was gone 40 days, and the people began to be restless, very restless, and they didn't know what to become of Moses. And so they had brought the gold and the trinkets out of Egypt, as you remember, which is typical of our flesh, the typical of the sins of our flesh that we still have. Even after the Lord has brought us into the knowledge of the truth, we're still sinners. We'll remain sinners as long as we live. And yet, God, Jesus has taken up his abode in our heart, and we've been made to rejoice and to be exceedingly glad that he had loved us and gave himself for us. Now, I just want to say one more, and then I want to quit, because I do not feel too well right now. And I'll quote again, as James said, when he realized that the coming of the bringing of the Gentiles into the kingdom of God, revealing to them that they were God's people also, and seeing all the evidences and the wonders and the miracles that Paul and Barnabas had performed in the midst of the Gentiles, there was evident proof that they were the Lord's people. And because James realized that God knew all of his works, God had fixed all of his works, he predestinated all the things from the foundation of the world, because he realized that, because he had been taught that, to know that God was infinite in wisdom, power, and glory, all of his works, he knew them. He was willing, in the face of this evidence, to say and to welcome the Gentile brethren into the church of the living God, believing and having the evidence that God had manifested his love to them just the same as he had the Jew. Now, I'm going to stop right there. Brother Tripley called Friday evening, I believe it was, and he had planned to come, of course, but he wasn't well, and his wife wasn't well, so he said he just couldn't come. Now let's turn to page 168, the last hymn on that page, "Now to Thy Praise, Eternal King." and sing that. And while we sing, we announce an open door for the reception of members. Let's stand, yes, and sing.
Now to thy praise eternal be, be all my thoughts employ. Why love is precious truth I see, cast down but not destroy. Cast down but not destroy. Cast down but not destroy. Why love is precious truth I sing. Cast down but not destroy.
Let us look to the Lord and be dismissed. Gracious Father, we hope that we're thankful unto Thee that Thou hast brought us together this day. Thankful unto Thee that Thou art mindful of us, giving us life, giving us those things which sustain our natural life. And more than all of these, that spiritual life and that manna that Thou dost send down from heaven, so that we feast upon these wonderful, glorious things, and our hope is revived, and that we would praise and adore Thy great and holy name. Father, may all the praise be Thine, now and evermore. Amen. Yes, we, about to forget that, we plan to have, the Lord willing, an all-day meeting next for Sunday here at the place, and I'm expecting to hear from an elder tonight. He would call me whether he can come, but if he can't come, I will get somebody, I hope. So let's not forget that, all-day meeting here next for Sunday.